Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Ahoy, mates. Welcome aboard another voyage of Pirate Money Radio, the show that sails against the storms of fiat tyranny, cultural confusion, and counterfeit ideas to chart a course toward liberty, security, and values based on biblical truth. I'm your captain, Kevin Freeman, coming to you from the heart of Texas, and I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, the blue-eyed bombshell, my wife, Marnie.
Okay, I don't even know how to answer that. I was going to say ahoy, mate. But
Marnie, today we're looking at three men whose public leadership was forged long before cameras or crowds, under extreme pressure, in loneliness, and through quiet faithfulness.
Okay, so today's topic is character under that extreme pressure, Washington, Reagan, and Eisenhower.
That's right. Historically, Washington, Eisenhower, and Reagan.
Right.
But yes.
We'll put them in order.
Yeah. And we're using three films as cultural entry points. The new Young Washington film, which has stayed theaters a lot longer.
So good.
Pressure, which is about Eisenhower and the D-Day decision and is now out on streaming services. Mm-hmm. And then The Brink of War, which is a new film that's coming out from Angel Studios about Reagan at Reykjavik
in Iceland. It's not out yet, right?
It's not out, but it will be soon. These are rarely told, underappreciated stories of how character is formed when almost no one is watching. And then they put it before a broad movie audience.
Right.
But no one was watching at the time.
Well, it wouldn't be put before a broad movie audience if there hadn't been character formed.
That's correct. And the difference...
In the quiet.
We're comparing confidence to true character.
Yeah.
And discussing the loneliness of high-stakes decisions, the quiet preparation that makes public courage possible. And Young Washington, that's a great story. It tells about George Washington, the hero that we know, the first president. But he was a man, as a young man, under tremendous fire.
This feels so timely. And I think a lot of our listeners are under their own pressures right now, like family, business, definitely culture. And where do we start with this?
All right, let's start with truth and pattern recognition. From decades of briefing national security leaders that I've done and studying economic warfare, I've seen men and women who've held theirs under fire, sometimes the loneliest, sometimes the loudest, sometimes the most self-assured, sometimes the ones questioning and fighting and struggling with it. Mm-hmm. But those who are tested in the hidden places and pass the test, they're great people of character. And Marnie, you and I will look at this as believers.
Yeah.
Let's look encouraging, thoughtful, hopeful. But we'll be serious about it where it needs to be. But we don't want to be heavy-handed. We just want to study this great moments of history and really see the impact.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot to dive in. I don't even think we're going to have enough time to do it all.
But. Well, we'll do our best. Okay, here's a discussion question. What's the difference between youthful confidence and the kind of character that can later carry a nation? Take it to young Washington. Do you see that?
Well, in our youth, I think we're a little over-exuberant. We can think we're all that in a bag of chips.
Right.
to put it mildly. But as Washington had failures, he learned from that. He learned from his mentors. He learned from, even all the characters in all these movies, they learned from those mentors eventually. But
he did
have some big failures.
He did have failures. Yeah. Young Washington, you know, he wants to be the hero like all the other people around him. He wants to serve the king and all that. And he goes and literally begs for a command and an opportunity.
Right.
And his brother was...
Lawrence was his half-brother. He mentored him.
He mentored
very
him, but
well.
He was also well-respected, well-appreciated.
Right.
You know, he
taught him civility.
Mount Vernon, where we've been so many times, mm-hmm. was really actually
I highly recommend
his
people
home.
Going to Mount Vernon. It's incredible.
Yes, but George Washington did not create Mount Vernon.
No, he did not.
He grew up around it and
exactly.
there, and his brother Lawrence owned it.
Well, going back to Washington's mom, she said, failure is a tutor sent by God. If you don't learn from it, you fail twice. If you do learn from it, you've earned wisdom. That's really powerful.
Yeah, and you know what's exciting about the movie is that when I saw it, Everywhere I looked said that it's historically accurate. I asked David Barton and Bill Federer, yeah, and they said it's accurate.
Then the archivists of the Smithsonian's, I don't know which entity, but they said it was accurate.
So. And even one of the complaints on Rotten Tomatoes, I mean, they've complained about a lot of things when you find a good movie and you like it, and you're like, the Reagan movie, I loved it. And the crowd, the regular people loved it, but the critics hated it. One of the critics' criticisms was, well, Young Washington is too factually correct. It's too historical. I was like, they wanted to make it up. They wanted him chopping down a cherry tree. I mean, what is it that they were after?
The story that actually happened.
Yes.
Is fantastic.
It's well documented.
What God ordained and did Washington.
And it tells battles. A combined force of French and Native American warriors ambushed British general Edward Braddock's army near present-day Pittsburgh. The British lines collapsed into chaos. Nearly every officer on horseback was killed or wounded, and a 23-year-old Lieutenant Colonel George Washington rode back and forth across the battlefield for hours, acting as a courier to coordinate a retreat. Afterward, he discovered just how close he'd come to death. He had two horses shot out from under him. He found four bullet holes ripped through his coat. He escaped without a single scratch or flesh wound. 9 days later, he wrote a letter to his brother, John Augustine Washington, explicitly attributing his survival to God. He wrote, "By the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side."
How could you get better than that in a movie? Take that, Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, take that, Rotten. And then it tells the story also of the legend 15 years later in 1770. According to records, Washington's closest friends and companion, Dr. James Craik, Washington traveled back to the Ohio country and encountered an elderly Native American leader who had fought against him and that battle. And through an interpreter, can you read what the chief told Washington?
He was an expert marksman and had personally targeted Washington.
Okay, so I'm a great shot, and I shot at you.
Yeah, I shot at you. He fired his rifle at Washington 11 to 17 times and ordered his warriors to do the same, but all shots, these were expert marksmen, miraculously missed him and concluded that the young officer, Washington, was shielded by the Great Spirit. The chief ordered his men to stop firing, predicting that Washington was destined to become the chief of nations. And this extraordinary escape firmly established Washington's lifelong conviction that divine providence was actively preserving his life for a grander historical purpose.
Where would Washington have been had he gone in the ego of his youth and not been tried under fire and not known that God had preserved him for something greater? That was the moment that he became
that
General Washington,
yeah,
that could go through many defeats of the Revolution and emerge victorious, and then President Washington, who could be the father of this country.
That's right.
That's where our nation was birthed, right there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so powerful. And the cinematography on this movie is stunning, and you see the depth of character being built. You see his suffering in failure, and you see he's still very a humble servant in his success.
He realizes his success would not have happened except
Absolutely.
For the hand of God. He called it the hand of providence, but we know what that means.
Yeah.
You know, and he dedicated his life. He dedicated more than just, he dedicated his estate. He was a wealthy man because of his brother Lawrence and because of his prominence. And he dedicated his money. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas, giving, spending, and investing, in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And the reason Patriot Mobile is called Patriot Mobile is they're reflecting people like General George Washington.
That's right. And they attributed their success to God and trying to be a servant to their customers.
Right. Right, right. And I would imagine if we went back to 1776 that we would find many of the founding fathers were carrying Patriot mobile phones, if such a thing existed then.
That's
but
true.
Here's the thing, is that General Washington was first Major Washington, then Lieutenant Colonel Washington. And the major command was pretty hefty command to have been given so young in life.
23.
At 23, he was a Lieutenant Colonel.
23.
And that his character was forged in trial by fire. And that's what we're talking about, character under pressure. That's how God creates diamonds. He takes coal, puts it under pressure. That's how an oyster produces a pearl. And we're under pressure. Some of you listening may be under severe pressure. Hang in there. God's with you, and he's going to produce something remarkable in your character. We'll be right back.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty. Invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
I'm talking with my beautiful wife, Marnie, and we're talking about before he was the father of our country, young George Washington was a 20-something officer, and he made a lot of very public mistakes.
He did. I mean, I would say that we all fail, and failure does not define us. And if it did, we'd be lost to eternity, seriously. So think about that. But the film Young Washington leans into that in Jumonville Glen, Fort Necessity, the wilderness, loneliness, all of it. And you see it portrayed very well.
Yeah, well, you see young Washington filled with ambition. He wanted to be a true hero, a patriot like his brother. Then you see it colliding with reality, a disastrous campaign. He had shame, the long, quiet work of learning from his failure before the revolution ever began. Character was being formed when almost no one was watching. And what I love about this movie, combined with the other one that I really like, which was The Great Awakening,
that was fantastic.
Young, ambitious Ben Franklin, and then you see the wisdom later in life. In fact, you see Ben Franklin and George Washington at the Constitutional Convention, both having come from very different paths,
right,
to reach the same point where they are establishing our nation.
Yeah. And I mean, younger, more stubborn, more overly confident, older with wisdom.
Yep. You mentioned Jumonville Glen, which is the historic site in Pennsylvania, famous for Washington's first military battle and the opening skirmish of the French and Indian War, started on May 28th, 1754. My father was born on May 28th. And so that's a day that's memorable to me. But
it's another day of infamy.
Yeah, 181 years before he was born, the French and Indian War started. I didn't realize this until I watched the movie. I may have forgotten it, but George Washington was responsible. Literally,
yes.
His skirmishes, that caused the French and Indian War that set up the American Revolution. And also, that's where Davy Crockett came from and so many different things. You know, I guess it wasn't Davy Crockett.
No.
But so many different things came from that French and Indian War.
Well, he learned a lot. He learned a lot of lessons that he actually could then take back to the Continental Army and those type of things. So it was a gross, historic, rough time that he faced. And he wasn't listening to people around him. He wasn't taking advice. He wasn't listening to his mentors.
Well, and there were 40 soldiers, and they ambushed a small camp of 29 to 35 French-Canadian troops, mm-hmm. and it got out of hand. And when it got out of hand, the French commander, Ensign Joseph Colon, was killed during the brief 15-minute fight. He was killed by the Mingo chief, the native that was with him, sparking an international controversy, and it really ignited a 7-year war that was the first World War.
Yeah.
Not World War I, but before World War I, right. The actual first true global conflict.
Now, Washington led them to surround that camp, but we don't know, and it's portrayed in the movie, who did that first shot and caused a whole bunch of just the domino that the French Indian War became.
Yeah, and that led directly to French retaliation. Washington mm-hmm. had to surrender at Fort Necessity, a fort that he'd yeah. built up. And you can see it at the Fort Necessity National Battlefield. It's something you can go visit today. And Washington built that up. He built it poorly, unwisely, put it in the wrong location, built it the wrong height. He did all sorts of things wrong, and he was forced to surrender. And that surrender is what started the war, mm-hmm. because he had took responsibility in the surrender on right. behalf of the king.
And part of it was because he couldn't understand the language, is what he said.
He didn't have good interpretation. Yeah. Right. So how does a man go from the impulsive young major who almost started a world war to the restrained commander of the Continental Army who knew when to retreat? What role did mentors, books, and quiet reflection play in all of that? These are questions that you can ask as you're facing challenges today.
Well, I mean, have you ever had a season where that failure felt final and later realized that it was only the furnace, that you were in the fire?
God using the furnace. Mm-hmm. It's painful. Discipline seems painful at the moment.
Yes.
But in the end, it produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's the scriptural truth. The testing of character produces endurance. That's James 1:2-4. And that's our first president. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump all the way from the first president to the 34th president. And you can see this in the movies, too. It's an incredible movie called Pressure. And we'll be talking about Eisenhower's burden of command when we come back.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not, using
really?
This. Using this. That's my MasterCard, and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by Marnie, my wife, and we're talking about movies we've seen
yes.
recently.
Yes.
Or two of them we've seen. One of them we have not yet to see. We've seen trailers for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Not yet.
I know personally people were involved in that
yes.
third one. But let's jump from Washington's early formation to Dwight David Eisenhower's solitary burden. Now, Eisenhower was born a Texan,
mm-hmm.
but they claim him in Kansas because he grew up in Kansas. But he was a great man, great president, and he was a warrior general before he became president, just like Washington. And the film Pressure centers on the 72 final hours before D-Day, with conflicting weather forecasts, the loneliness of the decision he has to make, and tens of thousands of lives in the balance.
Okay, I did not know of this story. Please go see it, learn of it. It's incredible. So he had advisors, but the final call was his alone in calling the timing of that
Exactly.
Advancement.
Yep. Confidence can be loud. Character listens, weighs, and decides.
Yeah.
The quiet years of staff work and moral formation prepared then General Eisenhower for the very moment that he was facing. So here's a question. How does a leader distinguish between the loudest voice in the room and the right course? Because there was a very loud voice in that room,
yeah.
A weather forecaster saying, nope, it's going to be like this.
So they brought in, do you want me to tell? Can I tell? There's
just
two,
a little bit,
there
yeah.
There was competing voices in meteorologists. And so he had to figure out which one was accurate because they were competitive. They weren't even on the same course.
Right. And one of them had an incredible track record. He'd relied on him over, General Eisenhower had relied on him over and over
yes.
and over. And he had an incredible track record. But then there was another guy who had reasoning and he was the British. And he had a different perspective, and his different perspective may or may not turn out to be right, and you have to make the hard decision with so many lives.
You see him just almost just sweating and wrestling because, you know, a bad accident happened before that, and he's dealing with, I'm dealing with lives.
I did not know this, but there was a D-Day practice invasion known as Exercise Tiger. It was a disastrous full-scale rehearsal that suffered from friendly fire and a surprise German attack, and 749 Americans lost their lives in a practice run that was supposed
right.
to be without casualty.
And
it was just a practice.
General Eisenhower, you'll see here, takes his handwriting. He takes full responsibility for it.
Yeah, actually, this is a message that he wrote. It's his D-Day failure message. Had things gone wrong on June 5th, 1944, he wrote the words that said, I bear full responsibility. It wasn't the colonel underneath him that was the meteorologist.
No.
By the way, I think it's interesting that later he was asked, why did the Allies win? And his answer was, we had better meteorologists.
Right. They had to rely on meteorology to take that next step. And so they had to predict it. What was the weather going to do? And this is fascinating from start to finish.
I do think there's a contrast here, though, because I note that in this case, they could choose the day of their invasion. On D-Day, he mm-hmm. gets to pick his day. It's got to be the right tides. The Germans have to be in certain position. The
yes.
weather has to be, but they could choose that. By contrast, another movie that I love, which is Darkest Hour or Dunkirk, Churchill was faced with you don't have a choice on the weather. You
no.
don't get to choose what the weather is. There are 350,000 men trapped on a French beach town. You
right.
have to get them off. It doesn't matter the weather. But they
but
took
prayed.
A different approach. They
That's
prayed.
Right, he
they,
prayed.
They went not to the meteorologist predicting what the weather would be. They
right.
went to the God of all eternity
who
in heaven.
All the weather.
And asked him to make the weather pleasant. And God
yes.
created a fog over Flanders so they couldn't take planes off. And he created a smooth, calm English Channel so they could get men out. So it's two contrasts, one retreat, one invasion. But it's interesting. The thread is... God wants to have faithful stewards who are doing the right thing. And Eisenhower, in this movie, Pressure, you can see all of the tumult he goes through, but you also see his faith, you see his failure, you see his success, and you see God working his hand. And history was changed because of the weather.
That's right.
All right, we're going to study more. We're going to go to another point in history with President Ronald Reagan in the Cold War. And we have some personal connection to this, and we'll share it right after this break.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Yeah, and I'm joined by Marnie, and we're talking about three moments of history where character was formed under the most extreme pressure by great men who were presidents of the United States at one point in their careers. We did young Washington, and that was setting the prelude up to make us a nation. And then we talked about General Eisenhower, and he was at that crucial moment in World War II where the United States went from being one nation of many to being the premier superpower on the planet, and it really started with a very tough decision that he had to make in the crucible for the D-Day invasion.
Right, and he had just come off of losing 749 lives.
A terrible failure.
So he had to overcome mental... I've got to get back in the game.
And challenges. I'm certain Montgomery went to Churchill and said, Eisenhower's not fit. I should be Supreme Allied Commander. That guy just lost 749 in a practice exercise.
Right.
And friendly fire and all of that. And there's explanation for all of it, but he took responsibility. And that was one of the key shining moments for both Washington and for Eisenhower. They took responsibility. Now I want to turn to... one of the greatest presidents of my lifetime, the one that I first voted, I got to vote for him. My first vote was for President Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Yeah.
When I turned 18, I was able to vote. And we're going to fast forward in his life. He's already president. And we saw the great movie Reagan, and we were just re-screened
it. We just saw it again.
With Mark Joseph, the producer, and we saw the director's cut. And I texted my friend John Voight and said, I love the way you acted in that movie.
The perspective of it and his acting, it was great.
He called back. It was fun and everything. But this was an existential Cold War. It wasn't a shooting war, but it was a real war between the Soviet Union and the United States. And when I was in college, they were telling me America will lose this war.
Yes.
And we looked weak. And then Reagan came on the scene. And there's a new movie coming out called The Brink of War. It's about President Ronald Reagan at Reykjavik, Iceland, where he confronts Secretary Gorbachev. It's about moral clarity under an existing nuclear threat. This could have ended the world. Had this gone terribly wrong, it could have ended the world. And we watched long-form convictions begin to unfold in
right.
Ronald Reagan.
It's just decades of quiet preparation showed up in the room that you see coming out. This is the moment he's prepared for.
Yeah, and confidence could be negotiated away. But true character holds the line, and the loneliness of standing firm when advisors, history, and the moment push you towards compromise. So I'm going to quote from the movie trailer. This is probably not actually said, but it really does reflect the time. Gorbachev, we're in there, and he goes, we are strong people, and we have learned that strength is how you win a war. You know, in this strong
right,
Russian
strong.
Accent.
Mm-hmm.
That strength is how you win a war. And Reagan responds, we're not trying to win a war, we're trying to end one. Because
yeah.
Reagan knew we were in a war, and it was going to end in existential chaos. It was going to end with potential nuclear weapons exchanges.
Now, our country has been here several times before, and this one shows, in all those times, you see character, resolve, all of that show up, strength.
Yes, and to be bipartisan, for sure, Washington was not a Republican or a Democrat. Clearly, Eisenhower was a Republican, Reagan was a Republican, but you saw the same thing with Kennedy.
Yes.
John F. Kennedy
yep.
on the brink of war also
yep.
just a couple of decades
crisis.
Earlier in the Cuban Missile Crisis. So it's about character, not politics. Okay, so what they actually said, and they had a conversation at Hofty House, which is a very lonely but really cool-looking house. Marnie, you'd buy this house if you could.
Oh, I would.
you would love it. It's very historical.
And it's out in the middle of nowhere.
It is. And they had highly technical, tense, and exhausting conversation, but both men did voice sentiments that matched the philosophical spirit of the movie's dialogue. For example, Reagan shocked his own advisors when the man who said peace through strength looks at Gorbachev and says, what if we get rid of all nuclear weapons? That's a negotiating tactic.
Yes, he was shocked.
Declassified transcripts showing Reagan telling Gorbachev that he truly wanted to eliminate the threat of nuclear weapons for future generations, which is amazing because he was portrayed as the cowboy and that he wanted to blow things up and all that. That's the way he was portrayed in the press. But in reality, he actually wanted to bring true peace. Okay, so that was powerful. And then he mentioned what we call Star Wars, or SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, and we have friends who worked on that.
Yes, we have a lot of friends that would have been in this movie or participated in some way, shape, or form, which is exciting to see how it all played out with our friends being involved.
Yeah, well, we have these missile systems now that protect if there's incoming Patriot missiles and all that we have. But Reagan talked about in space, what if we had lasers that shoot down the missiles as they're flying? And if we didn't actually have all that technology, but Gorbachev feared that we did, it brought a lot of strength to Reagan. And he said, look, we'll build it and we'll share it with you. Then everybody will be safe. And Gorbachev literally turned it down. So while he was trying, he didn't say, let's end a war. He literally was trying to end the war. And using modern screenwriting, it did reflect actually how he felt. Now, I want to share with you, you know our friend John Lanchowski.
Yes, amazing leader.
We need to have John on the program. He's very tall, too.
Oh, my gosh, he's so tall.
And I've known him 30 years.
Yes.
I've known him I get to know him first in 1996. So this goes back to just 8 years after Reagan left office.
He had a huge role in this.
He did. He was Reagan's principal Soviet advisor from 1983 to 1987. So he was behind the scenes at the Reykjavik summit in Iceland. He was a National Security Council advisor. He was a hardline strategist, and he was an author of the SDI standoff. He really did have an important role. And John, his history and understanding, by the way, he loves peace. He believes in God firmly. He believes in Jesus firmly.
And he's a gentle giant.
He wants peace.
Yes.
But he also understands that we can't let others take away our peace.
So we also needed to talk about Frank Gaffney and Dana Rohrabacher a little bit, who had roles also in this.
Yeah, I don't know if Dana will show up in this movie, The Brink of War.
So he was the speechwriter.
But he certainly was in the movie Reagan, and Dana and I have exchanged notes afterwards. We've talked, we've had phone calls. He had me testify in his congressional committee when he's a congressman. But at this
Dana's
time,
Dana's hilarious.
He was kind of a hippie, and he was a speechwriter for Reagan. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. He didn't write those lines, but he was a part of the team that did.
Yeah.
Yes. So we talk about Dana, but let's talk about Frank for a second.
He's a good man, Frank.
Frank's
a good egg.
Has been on this program, official declassified logistics and planning documents from the U.S. Department of State Office of the Historian show that Frank was involved in the preparation and post-summit National Security Council meetings in Washington. He wasn't at Reykjavik, but he was involved in those preparations.
Yes.
He was the defense delegation on the ground. His boss, Richard Perle, did travel to Reykjavik, but Frank stayed home in Washington, and the Washington Post traced how Richard Perle sat across from the Soviets during the late night sessions while his core DC team, which included Frank, supported and monitored the policy. And then the Brookings Institution's oral histories and comprehensive retrospectives compiled by the National Security Council project via Brookings Institution, Veterans Arms Control negotiators confirmed who was in the room and explicitly mentioned Richard Perle's presence and noted that Gaffney was the influential voice from his position back in Washington.
That's so
he was
crazy.
Intimately involved. They made a whole movie about stuff
history
that our friends did.
I know.
And
isn't
now
that crazy?
I can't call President Reagan a friend, but no. I was so honored to meet him.
Yes,
and so
you
honored
did.
To spend time and give him an award. Bottom line, though, we have men. This is documented. What happened there with President Reagan was real. It was intense. His character was forged there, and it literally beat the evil empire.
Yeah.
All right. So that's important. And what's important is it's assured liberty, security, and values for our families, for churches, for everything. That happened because of the character formed in that man.
Yeah.
All right, I need to point out, support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering a debit card and a mobile app that enables users to access their gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated Physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault, at the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amounts in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. That's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint provides access to gold for modern spending. All right, Marnie, we've talked about all three movies that teach about character. We need to see that quiet preparation in our leaders and in our own lives. And we need to understand the biblical truth. The man who builds his house on the rock, that's the house that stands. Let's
right.
build our house on the rock of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We'll be right back.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fit all this in? I seriously actually don't know where how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming. Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah? How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
Quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with Glint.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by Marnie. I love sharing stories with you. I love seeing movies with you.
I remember our early dates at movies.
I remember The Parent Trap is one that stands out.
It's one of my favorites.
And Armageddon stands out too, Bruce Willis. So we saw in our dating time.
Well, and also in Entrepreneur's Life, we had to do a dollar movie, a dollar hot dog, and one of the times we were struggling.
We did do that. And I love going to see great movies that inspire with you. All right, we've covered three stories, one pattern. Character is not confidence. I'm so certain. It's formed through fire, through quiet faithfulness, tested in loneliness, and revealed in high-stakes moments.
You know, and that same God who formed these men is still at work in the pressure of our listeners today.
That's right. Exactly. Whatever season you're in, the furnace is not the end of the story. And all three were men of faith.
That's right.
Like George Washington, right?
I don't know how we could do it without God. All three were men of faith in the one true God.
That's right. Washington, rooted in the concept of divine providence, he viewed the American Revolution and the birth of the United States not as mere human achievements, but as events guided by a protective divine hand. There's a guy who had his horse shot out from under him, bullet holes in his coat, had an expert marksman aiming at him 17 times and telling others to aim at him.
Several expert marksmen.
Yes, and they survived. Here's his direct quote. In his letter to Brigadier General Thomas Nelson, he wrote, The hand of providence has been so conspicuous in all of this that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith and more than wicked that has not gratitude enough to acknowledge his obligations. And he put it out in the First National Thanksgiving Proclamation. Have you got that?
Yeah. So the First National Thanksgiving Proclamation proclamation says, as his very first official act after being inaugurated as president, Washington issued a proclamation designating a National Day of Prayer and Thanksgiving. He explicitly stated it was the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Humbly.
That's right. Amazing. And that was Washington. Eisenhower, the same way, he spoke frequently of the intersection of faith, democracy, human rights. He strongly believed that American democracy was a meaningless concept unless it's anchored in a deeply held religious faith. Have you got his quote?
Yeah. Our form of government has no sense unless it is founded in a deeply felt religious faith. And I don't care what it is. With us, of course, it is the Judeo-Christian concept. But it must be a religion that all men are created equal.
That was his address at the Freedoms Foundation, December 22nd, 1952. Point out, if they any religion that says a woman has half the value of a man is not
all
a religion
men are created.
That meets that standard.
That's
okay,
right.
Now let's talk President Ronald Reagan. He possessed a deeply personal, optimistic Christian faith. He frequently spoke about his belief in the power of prayer and the idea that God had a specific, sovereign plan for individuals and nations. You got his quote?
Yes. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Mrs. Freeman, you brought that quote to my attention when you put it on the poster titled One Nation Under God.
Right.
And we've distributed thousands of copies of that have gone out around the world. He gave that as an address at an ecumenical prayer breakfast in August of 1984.
Yep.
And then in the Evil Empire speech, in a historic address to the National Association of Evangelicals, he framed the Cold War as a moral and spiritual struggle rather than a geopolitical dispute. He urged Americans not to ignore the facts of history and to openly confront the Soviet Union's state-sponsored atheism, famously declaring that the Soviets had committed the sin of pride because they denied the existence of God.
That's pretty prideful.
That is, it's as prideful as you get. Atheists don't realize that they are among the most prideful people on planet Earth.
Yes.
So we should come up with one quiet practice of preparation to adopt this week so our character is ready when the pressure comes. What should we do? How do we do it? Quiet time? What do you suggest?
I say pray, pray, pray. Train, train, train. Just keep seeking God, seeking wisdom, getting mentors, finding out in solitude what God wants. But when you have to make the decision, it's solitude.
And always do it from a biblical perspective. Keep
that
Bible by hand to keep you realizing that there is a God in heaven, and He's not you. This God in heaven is bigger, greater, stronger. Everything about Him is better than you. And if you think you're something really special or important, remember General Washington, actually Lieutenant Colonel Washington, thought that, and it didn't turn out so good. But when he realized God was in heaven, things turned out so much better. All right, we'll be back. We've got one more segment for Real Life, and we'll be talking about real life ideas.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And thank you, Marnie Freeman, for being with me for this. I think it's an important conversation.
I think
families need to hear it. This will air on AFR on Saturday mornings. It'll air on Real Life on streaming and then in their regular schedule. But I think it's timely.
I think you should go to these movies and read these books, and then you have deep discussions about them. You can gain a lot of knowledge, but also, you know, truth.
Yeah.
So lots of pressure, that we're all facing in this day. And we just had another show on AI, and that's a big pressure. But we can turn to God for the discernment and to His word for truth. So character under fire is still being formed in the hidden places. If you're lonely and in the wilderness, it's only for a time period. God is refining you in the fire. And the same God who held Washington, Eisenhower, and Reagan holds each of us.
Yeah, the truth is we're not that special. God is that special.
But he loves us.
He does love us. In fact, that's the posted on my X account. That's the thing I've posted. I'm not that great, yeah. But God is that great. And if we remember that, and life will give us plenty of opportunity to be puffed up, yeah. And it'll give us plenty of opportunity to be in mass despair, just in, you know, everything's going wrong. The truth is in between. The real truth is, though, God loves us and has a purpose for our lives. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's John 8:32. So do we learn to embrace the pressure before it forges us? Can we learn that?
Yes, we should embrace it and ask the Lord what he has for us in it. And we have these real challenges even in our 250th birthday year, particularly now. So something from Jeremiah 18:7-8, if at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned turns from its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned.
This is so important because we're looking, I mean, first off, I worked at the highest levels of national security.
You did.
I was with the tops of the three-letter agencies repeatedly, and I was warning them and hearing warnings from them and asked to evaluate problems. And I can tell you there are a lot of ways we could lose our country, from debt, from yeah. nuclear exchanges. I even wrote a chapter in a book on weapons of mass destruction for the Secretary of Defense.
Right.
And I've written a new book coming out, Four Horsemen of the American Apocalypse and Our Six Trials by Fire.
It's going to be really pressure. Good. Hard topics.
It's
really
a hard,
good.
Hard topic. And yeah. it's so easy to get caught up in this notion, for example, that, you know, maybe America's done for. Maybe our best days are behind us, and maybe we have no future or no hope. But when I see a movie like Young Washington, and I realize that those were desperate times, too. They were out on the frontier. The Native Americans, which, you know, my history is Native American, but the Indians could have been coming, and the French could have been coming, and the British were coming, as Paul Revere told us. But the key is, in these hard times, do we turn to God or away from God?
We turn to God.
In Germany, when they had hard times, they turned away from God between the First World War and what became the Second World War, and that's the rise of Hitler. They turned away from God and went into decadence right. and everything else. It's our chance, America. We can turn to God in
pray
our 250th year. Pray for this nation. Turn yes. to God. We're a nation under pressure, just as Washington, Eisenhower, and Reagan were. But we can have hope, and we do have a God who cares. And that passage you read in Jeremiah is so depressing. It basically says, hey, you people, you my people, the Hebrew people I've called, you know, in kingdom Judah, the kingdom of Israel, guess what? I'm going to send a foreign power in, and he's going to defeat you, and if you fight against him, you're going to lose.
Right.
It's terrible. And I'm going to drag you off because you right. haven't done the Sabbath, and you haven't committed the Sabbath years, and you haven't done right before me. I'm going to drag you off. But any time that I announce a nation or kingdom is about to be uprooted, torn down, or destroyed, if that nation that I warned turns from its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. That's Jeremiah 18:7-8. That's just
turn
as good as 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yes.
It's those twin towers of truth
right.
are fantastic. We're a nation under pressure. We need to turn to God. We have a God who cares. We need to turn to God. If in your personal life you're facing challenges, this is your opportunity. As a nation, we are facing challenges. This is our opportunity. We need to make the focus to be form our courage under fire and our character under pressure. For those watching on Real Life Network, until next time, stay faithful, stay free. If you're listening on AFR, what you need to do, you need to stay tuned, because we'll be right back. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, pirate money, discovering the founders' hidden plan for economic justice, and defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Talking with Marnie Freeman, we're talking about three movies we've seen. Well, two we've seen, one we're looking forward to seeing that's coming out about Washington, Eisenhower, and Reagan and how their character was formed under pressure and, yeah. and really how our nation was formed under pressure, preserved under pressure, and preserved again under pressure.
So still being preserved under pressure.
Very, very encouraging. So, Marnie, do you have any final encouraging thought?
I would say fear God. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but we need to fear him. Fear God, not the pressure. Use every trial, including the ones that we face personally and nationally, for his glory. Characters formed in the fire, but the final chapter is already written. Jesus wins.
You know, I must admit that I'm one of those who occasionally, if I'm reading a scary book, occasionally I will go to the back of the book and read the ending, and then I can, with great confidence, watch. And, you know, I see that. I watch a very scary, I admit, I watch Star Trek Discovery episode, and you're like, what is that you're watching? And I knew that there was Spock and there was Captain Kirk in this, and it's a prequel before the regular Kirk and Spock. Well, I knew how it turned out. I knew that Spock and Kirk went on to the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, who had a 5-year mission. I knew all that, so I could watch with confidence this very scary show, knowing, because I admit, so I encourage you, turn to the back of the book. Read the encouraging chapters in the book of the Revelation given to John on Patmos. Read the encouragement that Jesus comes back. There's a new heaven. There's a new earth. We win. The devil loses. Right. He goes into a lake of fire. Talk about pressure. Yeah. And we are able to reign victorious with Jesus hereafter, forever and forever and forever. And it's just, Amen. It's a beautiful thing. So,
okay, so I have to laugh. As you're saying all that, I'm like, I'm thinking of the Eisenhower quote. He says, well, as you're saying all this, I'm like, well, we just need we need better meteorologists. So, you know, he says at the end of the movie, the Allies won because we had better meteorologists. Well, you know what? We know the best meteorologist ever, and the winds of war are all around us.
Yes.
And so
I love the metaphors, right? Marnie. Winds of war, love that. And the meteorologists, you're right, because we don't have the meteorologists. We've got the weather report after the day is finished.
Exactly.
To know exactly how it ends up.
Exactly.
So that's a beautiful way to look at it, Mrs. Freeman.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sailing with me on this voyage. This pirate money voyage that we've had today to learn about how character is formed and the value of it. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to write us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Tell us what you're seeing in your life, how you're applying biblical wisdom under pressure. And here's a prayer. Father, give our leaders wisdom and courage under fire. Strengthen your people in the hidden places where character is formed. Protect the vulnerable and guard Israel. Bless our veterans. Bless their families. Keep us faithful until you return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So good.
It is good. All right, you find us where you find any major podcast platform. You can get the full archives and find those at piratemoneyradio.com. If you want to learn more, you can go back and listen to all our episodes. We've had a wonderful time sailing today,
wonderful.
Mrs. Freeman. This is Kevin Freeman and Marnie Freeman for Pirate Money Radio. Until next time,
arrgh!